and welcome to You Make Me Hate You.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Carrie. And this is a podcast where we discuss the everyday annoyances we hate but are forced to endure. Today, our topic is what we hate about our spouse. We're starting this first episode off strong and a little bit risky because we do still have to sleep in the same bed together. How long have we been married now?
It's going on 28 years this year.
So that means roughly almost 32 years together. We met when we were young. We were both working at Target. I was 16, about to be 17, and you were...
20, going on 21.
Just so the audience can know, Mark's pickup line to me when I was in the back storage room, I was down an aisle and he was at the other end, and he came up and said, I'm not dating anyone.
It's right to the point, right? I mean, it's availability.
And then he walked away. He said, I'm not dating anyone, and walked away.
It's called suave.
So that was the line that started our relationship, that and a lot of mixtapes. Anyone who's been in any sort of long-term partnership with someone inevitably has a laundry list of things they are annoyed with by their partner. Now, because we were together from the time we were so young, we have the advantage or maybe disadvantage of knowing each other's childhoods. I was blessed with surviving a childhood filled with abuse and alcoholism, and you were blessed with a broken family and being forced to move how many times?
I was around 19 by the time we met.
And why were you moving around?
I'm an Air Force brat.
So basically, good times for both of us. So it's safe to say we deal with our unresolved trauma with dark sarcasm. We're classic Gen X latchkey kids that never went to therapy. Instead, we allow our pent-up anger to come out in fights over who didn't replace the toilet paper. We're both strong-willed and a little bit damaged, so when a disagreement arises, we're not afraid to go for the jugular. Our fights can quickly escalate to, oh yeah, your dad walked out on you, to...
Your mom's a drunk.
Now, normal people would say, fuck this shit.
Yeah, but we typically deal with eggs that get broken quite a bit. We're not afraid to break some eggshells.
We're not quitters, in other words, right?
Right.
So we usually continue with our insults until one of us gets hungry or tired, and the screaming dissipates and just turns into, what do you want for dinner? A lot of times we jokingly say we could never be contestants on The Amazing Race. They would have to beep all of our dialogue because under stress we quickly get agitated and begin cussing at each other. So both of us would be screaming, why can't you find the fucking flag, you dumbass?
Yeah, we'd be on the rated R, probably HBO version maybe of The Amazing Race or Netflix.
I think it'd be the most real. That and we'd be mocking other castmates who always have to say, come on, babe, doing a good job, babe. You got it, babe. We're not those kind of people. Anyway, should we get into our lists?
Sure.
I'll start with a common one, and I say this to you every day, every night, when we're brushing our teeth. The sounds that come out of you, not the brushing of your teeth, it's what comes after, when you're hacking up some demon from deep within your body, and to expel it out into the sink, it's, I don't know what the hell you're doing. It sounds like it's hurting your throat. I don't know really what you're doing.
Well, until you come up with like a mouth bidet, I'm going to have to do that. It's just, you got to get rid of that crap in your mouth. You know, you clean it, you got to get it all the way out.
It drives me nuts. Oh, that and your sink showers, better known as, it's like a celebration that you're having in the bathroom where you baptize the mirror, you baptize the shower curtain behind you. It's basically you're having a pool party with the sink.
Nothing wrong with that. You got to stay clean and refreshed.
Moving on to your beard trimmings left in the bathroom. I'll wash my face, pat it with a towel, I'll look in the mirror, and it's like I have little black spider legs all over my face. Especially if I put a little lotion on, they're now attached for the entire day like glue. One other thing, I hate when you say, I was just thinking. And that lends to one of your mini creations, but why don't we talk about your creation of the shitter shield, Mark? Tell our audience what the shitter shield is.
Well, the shitter shield is something that everyone should just do. I'm going to let it out there. I'm not going to trademark this thing. I've Mark Guyvered basically to help, you know, get your excrement down the toilet without making streaks. It's not foolproof, but it does a pretty good job. You just fold a couple pieces of toilet paper before you drop one out. Drop into the pool, and it glides down the toilet a little bit easier. I'm just saying, it's just one of those little inventions that I'm just trying to help your job of cleaning out the toilet.
Did you hear that? My job. And am I good at doing that job?
I'm too tall. I'm too tall. I'm going to hurt my back.
To bend over and clean the toilet. So he invented shitter shields.
Yes. So
in response to that, a fun, this is a tip I'll share with you guys for hopefully you guys can do to your significant other. When you're, it's typically the man who spends an exorbitant amount of time in the bathroom. So when you see him grab his phone and head with a smile to the throne for 15 minutes, gather up all your pets. For us, it's two cats and a dog. And put them all inside the bathroom while your significant other is on the toilet. And they're trapped. Put all those pets in there with your person. And it lends to good pet bonding. And just another way to say I love you to your spouse.
Well, you know what? I could probably do that too. But you have an open door policy with going to the bathroom. So we have conference when you're in there, and then you yell at me. It's like, close the door.
Well, when you have kids, that's just what happens.
You got to be like ready to get up since and we have two get girls, into action.
But it's because we have two girls, so it's open door policy for a mom. And
not for me.
Not for the dad.
No way, Jose. I'm staying confined.
Another thing I'll bring up is you're such an angry driver. It drives me insane. If somebody cuts you off or stops short in front of you, you always say, I have to show a mirror. I have to put a mirror up to these people to see they can see their behavior.
It's called being assertive. I'm an assertive driver. I want to get to my destination in a good amount of time.
Angry driver.
Hey, I'm just reacting to people that aren't being assertive as well.
And share your two favorite things to do to assert your assertiveness to these people who need a mirror put up in front of them.
Well, it depends on the day and how I'm feeling, but you know, I'll give a thumbs up, a sarcastic thumbs up, which usually results in a middle finger. But why is that?
I think they're shocked. They don't understand what exactly you're putting up.
Well, they're too dumb. That's probably why. And I also do my classic thing that I've been doing for a little while now. It's you throw up, use your right hand, you throw up a nice big C with your hand. That's either for cunt or cocksucker, whatever one you want to choose. You know, cunt is more kind of European, if you want to be kind of European, or, you know, cocksucker is good too. But no one's going to know what you're doing. So they'll be like dumbfounded anyway. So, but it's fun.
But if you want to, you can try that out.
Yeah, maybe we can make a trend.
So if you're ever driving and you see in your rearview mirror somebody putting a C up, you know Mark's driving behind you.
That's right. But you won't do that because we know you won't do any poor driving.
Moving on. I hate all your piles around the house in various stages of being done.
A lot of these piles are like projects and ingenious things that I've been, creating. Not all of them, but they're... I could tell you little stories about each one, probably.
What about when you like to tell me in response to when I say, why can't you ever cut the dog's nails? Why can't you ever make a doctor's appointment? What do you tell me?
There's only one sentence you can say to somebody, and you got to flatter them. You're good at it.
I can't stand that. It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing to me.
I mean, it's something in the beginning, probably. But after a while, you got to think of something new.
Well, in response to that, I'll say, you're good with technology. I just want to hand you my phone. I want to hand you whatever electronic device and just give it back to me fixed. Don't sit and try to tell me how to do it. I don't care to know. I gave up with technology. It was enough having to transition from cassette tapes to CDs. And then I tapped out. I don't want to know anymore. I'm done. Whatever. It's just how it's going to be.
Luckily, our daughters have kind of taken that reign because I've gotten pretty lazy with that myself.
Let me see here. Moving on. What's on your list, Mark? Do you have anything you can
share?
Well,
you know, one thing I can't stand, I hate about you, is your chewing. it's technique. She blames it on the orientation or the...
Oh, my dental work. I have lots of cavities.
Craters fillings. In her mouth. I don't know that this... when she chews gum, it's this odd... This popping. I don't understand. It's like you don't have to do that. You don't
it
doesn't have
me.
To
it
pop.
Suits me.
So I can't stand that. And then we go on to just she loves chips. So when she eats chips, it's a commercial. It's a goddamn commercial. It's like she puts it in and crunches it. I swear there's some sort of amplification over there because it drives me insane. I'm like, you know what? Open your mouth. Put it in, close it, chew. It's just like a three-part you know, three steps.
Okay, so this brings me to a funny story about chips. I love chips. I'll take salty over sweet any day. And there was a time when, you know, ladies, or some maybe some men, when you need a salt fix, and I was just PMSing so hard, and I was downstairs on the couch relaxing myself.
That's erotic.
Yes. And my stomach was full, but I still wanted more salt. So I did what the only natural thing you should do is take more chips out from the bag and just suck.
No.
Yes. Well, suck all the salt and everything off. And then I just put them in another bowl. Nice and neat. Just put the
sucked
in. You never
put it in a bowl, though. You take the whole bag.
But I put
take them out of the bag.
But I took the moist chips that I sucked out and put them into the bowl.
Gross.
And you came downstairs and you said, oh, can I have some chips? And then you chewed on it and said, why are they wet?
Oh, God.
And I'd let that happen because...
Lesson learned.
All right. Moving on to delegation of chores. Every relationship or someone you live with, there's chores that you guys just have to do. And we've, through process of elimination, have decided we should do what we'd like to do. So that it gets done. So basically, I handle all the outside stuff, lawn care, mow the lawn, house maintenance, seal coating the driveway, etc. And Mark, you like the cooking, and so that entails. Then you also have taken on doing the dishes after the cooking. So here's a funny story with house maintenance anyway. But this is before we came to decide who will do what in our house. We have a cedar house, cedar wood siding. And so after a few years of living here, we had to stain it. So we went to Menards and got all our supplies. We went outside. We were all ready. We were literally side by side, paintbrush and paintbrush side by side. And Mark, you literally, what did you do? You literally did wax on, wax off, brush up,
That's right. Brush down.
That's right. Just one swipe, one full up, one full down. And then what'd you
say? Then I did the calculations in my brain and said, this is never ending.
And then you went in the house. I thought, well, this is strange. He's already thirsty. I guess, needed a snack. Or a drink, and you just never came back out again, ever. Yeah. About a week later, I had the whole thing done. So we decided that Mark wasn't going to take on that. He's going to stick to the indoor stuff.
I did plenty of other stuff.
Speaking of cooking, I have a funny story that I can cook. I don't enjoy it. Anything that's going to take longer than 15 minutes, it drives me insane. I don't want to do it. And you like to cook everything from scratch. You love looking up recipes, researching new things to make, which is great. I'd love to eat it. I just don't find any joy in it. But there was a time where I was trying to be nice and make you something. You had made in the past these fried potatoes where you just chopped them up and you had some kind of tomato base or something. I don't know what it was that you created for it. So I chopped up the potatoes. I fried them up and I thought, well, tomato base, well, I'll just use some ketchup. So I put that in the fry pan and it didn't work out so well. They kind of coagulated into like what looked like coagulated blood balls, and it didn't smell so good. But I thought, well, I'm not going to be a quitter here. So I scooped it up and I said, Mark, I made you something to eat.
I think I was sleeping on the couch at this time.
Yeah, but you were game. I don't know if you're excited that I made it. And I said, close your eyes. And I put it in your mouth.
And it burnt.
You said,
and it was terrible.
It's hot burning trash. You're feeding me hot burning trash.
Yeah, that ketchup had definitely burnt or something. The Maillard effect caramelized the ketchup. I don't know what
But
it
we
was.
Came together with a laugh. That's all that matters,
yeah,
right?
And we laughed. That's 30 years ago.
And it cemented who does what. Mark does the cooking. I do the staining of the house. But like I was saying, you do the cooking and then you'll do the dishes. But one thing that drives me nuts is you do not immediately do the dishes right after you get done cooking.
I got to digest. I got to sit down and relax and say, I made a good meal.
And it drives me. It just drives me insane. I can't understand how like a sink with spots or grease on the stove just doesn't eat you away while you're sitting and watching TV. I will never understand it. I think just get it done, be done, and then relax. But you'd want to relax before you go in there. It just I can't do it. So I'll just sit there on the couch picking my thumbs until you can get up and go do the dishes.
Oh, it just irks her.
And then what do you like to call that when I pick my thumbs because I have the anxiety? My bloody stumps?
Yeah, God, jeez.
Anxiety. It's not for everyone.
No.
I'm trying to think of, do you have anything else you want to share on your list?
Well, I mean, when it comes to food, I'm a person who, if I scoop some food or whatever you want to call it, put it on my plate or have a beverage, I have what I'm most likely going to eat. And I'm not a big sharer when it comes to that, because I've delegated to my plate or my glass what I'm going to drink or eat. And she is a utility eater. She'll eat, for the most part, to fill her belly, because her senses are a little bit diminished, I guess you could say.
Just having a quick cheese stick over the sink or finishing up whatever your kids need over the sink, that's fine. That's a full meal for me.
Yeah, but, and then she'll say, can I have a sip? And it's like, she's just taking a sip just because she's thirsty or something like that. I know that sounds weird, but it's what I've got in the can or whatever. And she's a can crusher too. She'll like put a dimple in the can. I cannot stand that. Why would you deform the can?
It's my strength. It's all my muscles I've built from staining the house and mowing the lawn.
Right. I'm a dainty. I'm a fancy boy. I know.
That's great, Mark.
I make good food to eat.
Did we talk about when we were in bed, the sleeping behavior, the snoring? I don't think we did. Did we talk about that?
I guess I do a little bit of snoring once in a while.
And it's so loud. It's to the point where I think, how is he not waking himself up? This is insane. I've even tapped you and you go, oh, I'm sorry. And then you turn over. That tells me.
I'm apologetic. I'm considerate.
That tells me you know exactly
even
what you're doing.
Even in my sleep.
And then what do you love to have turned on?
The fan. I've had the fan on for probably almost 50 years of my life. Have had some sort of fan.
Blowing directly into his face. And so because it's blowing right on his head, he has the covers pulled up all nice and cozy. Two hands pulled up right to his chin, nice and cozy, holding on tight. And then when he turns in the bed after I've kicked him for snoring, he rolls while still holding the covers. So then what happens? All my covers then come off. And I'm yanking the covers back. And I swear that's when you wake up, because you double down and pull those blankets back.
I'm like a vice.
And I sit up and I yank those suckers back, because I'm just like, what the fuck? I'm your wife. I bared your children. You're going to freeze me over here. Well, since we went through some negative things, or I wouldn't even say negative, it's just our way of life, so it doesn't feel negative to us. But we should maybe move on to a few things that we find positive about each other to end this, because like I said, we do have to go to sleep in the same bed together. So I'll start. I'll say, you are an amazing dad to our girls. You share all of your knowledge with them. You cook with them. You make cool shit with them. You take them to awesome concerts. And the biggest thing is you can admit when you're wrong with them. You can't admit it with me so much, but with the girls, you can, and that's a good thing.
Okay. I'll take that as a win. Well, I mean, it's ridiculous in the summertime, because what you've done with the yard, it's just flowers everywhere, and it's always pristine. It's like a Garden of Eden, if you will. Even though we've had to take in so many trees down, but you still recreate little effigies, if you will, for these trees, with surrounding them with new flowers. And I always just love to just walk around and have people over, and they always get lost in the yard. So that's one big thing I think that I've always enjoyed since
then,
we've lived up here.
We also have it full of knickknacks, any kind of tchotchke trinket we can find at a Goodwill. It will become liquid nails onto the tree stumps from the trees we had to get cut down. A memorial, if you will, to the trees.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I have to say, everybody recognizes it. You have amazing hair. What does the beautician say who cuts your hair?
I think she says I have show hair, which is kind of weird to hear, but I'll take it as a win.
Some people at your 52 now have a receding hairline. I think it's descending. It's actually coming. You're getting more hair.
I think I go by people and like extract their hair follicles just out of the air. I don't know.
And now it has a nice little salt and
pepper.
Yeah, and there I make it look nice.
Well, thanks. Well, I think that the one huge thing underlying thing in our relationship is that you keep this whole thing afloat, the whole family afloat. You're basically the bedrock of our family, and because I'm such a dreamer and a goofball when it comes to my ideas, and you're the realist. You have to have a realist, and I think we have a very good balance in our relationship. You know, we have a lot of things that are different, but we always have common goals, and you know, our kids are definitely our biggest common goal that I think we've had a good success with.
Yeah, they don't hate us, and they still like to come home from college. And now that one's out of college, she still likes to come over. So I guess that's a huge win.
Yeah, they're our buddies.
A great thing about you over our 32 years together, I have never once gotten a store-bought card for a birthday or an anniversary. And same goes for our girls, because you're artistic and you can draw beautifully. You've always tailored our cards for whatever interest we're in at that year. So never a store-bought card, which is amazing. I've kept them all, along with all the Burn CDs and mixtapes. First came the mixtapes and then the Burn CDs, and now it's playlists.
There's Lenny. And you always keep the holidays up and going. Every holiday, whether it's some odd holiday or not, we have a specific tree that she decorates every year. It's a smaller tree, but it's always lit up with little trinkets on it. And
everybody needs a turkey tree, a Valentine's
tree.
Right,
right.
It's all those things I never had as a kid that I wanted, that you wanted to give to your kids.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So, and we celebrate odd things here and there as well. We kind of make things up just to have fun as a family. So, yeah.
I guess to wrap things up, I'd say the best thing is you've always come back home, even during the shittiest of shit times. You've always come to share the burden, which leads me to even when all the shit is happening, every appliance can be broken down. Our car has lights on. There's bills that have to come. You're pissed off with your job. I'll be jumping up and down in the corner being like, what are we going to do? And you'll just be calm no matter what. You'll sleep through anything, any crisis, and you'll just say, Carrie, jumping up and down doesn't help. And I don't know how you do it. I guess we can't have two people in the relationship who's running around like their head is cut off. We need somebody to be the stabilizer. But sometimes it drives me nuts. I'd like a little bit of jumping up and down to make me know that you feel anxious about something. But you just sit there and be, I don't know if you're like, she's nuts enough to deal for both of us, but I would like a little emotion from you.
Well, I just know if I can't be in control of a situation, I just dial back, because if you can't control it, you can't control it. And, you know, if you can, definitely there's some frustration, but I don't know. It's one of those things. I'm a Libra. I don't know if that matters or not, but that's just how I kind of deal with
things. I think the main frustration is because after being in a house for so long, having to then contact a contractor or a plumber or anybody you can trust, it's so fucking hard. We've been screwed over so many times, even by people who are AAA with the Better Business Bureau, everything. It's just a nightmare to have to deal with that. So thankfully you've Mark Guybert so many things, and anything you come around our house, everything is cocked up or liquid nailed to the wall, because it's like, we don't want to pay somebody. I can't deal with it. So
yeah, we're a little creative, but where it needs to be done professionally, we will have it done professionally, but if not,
and hope
we'll
for the
ourselves.
Best. Yeah. So I guess to summarize our marriage, I like to say we're a functional dysfunction. Do you think that's a good description?
I think so.
Kind of like a blend of two songs by two great bands, Blue Rodeo and Talking Heads, lost together on a road to nowhere.
That's right.
Anyway, I'd like to just end this podcast and just give a shout out to, we don't know anybody out there who needs to hear this, but if you just got out of bed today and handled your shit, we're proud of you, because life is fucking hard. If you just get out of your bed and just go to a job that you hate, pound out those 8, 9, 10, 12 hours and get it done and come home, we're proud of you, because that's fucking awesome.
That's right.
And then we'd also like to give a shout out to our good friend Dave Richardson. He provided us our amazing theme song.
Intro and outros, yep.
And then Mark, if you'd like to tell us, tell everybody where... If you'd like to write in to us and share a story of things you hate or things that bother you or just a funny story you'd like us to read, we'll read it on air for you. And then just going forward,
we'll send you a sticker.
Yeah, our podcast sticker. Yeah, so when you're driving and somebody flips you off or makes you angry or your kids are making you angry, write us in one of those stories. We want to hear about it. We want to find our people so we don't feel so oddballish ourselves. So go ahead and tell everybody where they
can
reach us.
Well, you can go to youmakemehateyou.com. That's the website, and that's where typically the podcasts are, or else with all the other, hopefully all the other podcast hosts Our Instagram is You Make Me Hate You Podcast.
And is that where we'll put up a picture of us when we first started dating, and also we still have our target tags, name tags.
Putting stuff up there. We're just kind of growing, trying to grow here. And the email address is podcasthatemail@gmail.com. So feel free to...
That's where to send your stories. If you'd like us to read those or read them on air, just send them to the... Can you tell them again the email address?
Yeah, it's podcasthatemail@gmail.com.
And I think that about wraps us up.
Yeah.
If you actually stayed with us throughout the whole episode, thank you. We're just trying something out just to have fun. Not to make anything out of it, but just to find people who are like-minded. So I guess that's it.
Yep, cheaper than therapy.
That's right. Well, guys, thanks for sticking with us as we rambled through this last 35 minutes or so in our premiere episode. We're just kind of finding our way. But join us for future fun episodes where we will be discussing...
Why kids are assholes.
Contractors are crap.
And my fucked up family.
Have a great day.
Bye. You make me